What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It's Q&A time. Thank you for everybody who submitted questions. Dan Frank says, any updates on Keith Lee? Not that I can report. WWE and Keith Lee both want him cleared, but I've got no updates on anything beyond that I can share. Any update on Molly Holly and WWE? Yes. There's a concerted effort, or a concentrated effort, rather, to sort of diversify a lot of the production and writing and things like that. And Molly Holly was given a tryout. I don't know if it's still ongoing, but she was given a tryout. She is beloved backstage. Everybody likes her. Reese Hayes says, with AEW New Japan having a partnership, do you think the same would be possible with Stardom? If so, who should they try to bring over from that roster? Yeah, I think it's possible. I think Shiri Kondo, who has that MMA background, would be really good. Yutami would be good, and Julia. And then there's just so many more. There's so many more, but those are the ones that I look at and say, maybe them. Josh says, is there plans for anyone else to move up from NXT UK? Personally, I think a Baron Corbin and Sam Gradwell team could do very good. Well, I mean, you all know who I was hinting at for quite a while but couldn't reveal. It was Piper Niven. I like the idea of Sam. I mean, Sam does kind of look like a British Baron Corbin, doesn't he? Why did that pop me so much? I think a lot of people are speculating about Kaylee Ray. I don't know if she's been around, though. I'll find out. CJ says, have you heard any plans to get Samoa Joe in the ring? I have heard it's open-ended and that a lot is possible. I can say that. That a lot is possible and that this role is has a lot of possibility and a lot of opportunity to it if certain things can happen. Bryant says, do you think we get new logos and new theme songs for Raw and SmackDown next month? I think we get new production elements, whether it be sets, logos, colors. We're getting something like that, I believe. Gregory Carter says, if you could switch one male and one female wrestler now with a counterpart from the past, who would it be and why? I would put Lana in the Attitude Era. I think she could be a big star. And when you put her wrestling skills in there compared to, let's say, Deborah and Sable, she's better than those two women were at wrestling. And those were major stars. I think she could be huge. I would take Taz out of the 90s and put him today because I think that would work really, really well. Yeah. But if you mean from now with back then, ooh. I really think Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair, if she was around in the 90s, I think WWE and WCW wouldn't have been able to help themselves but to spearhead a women's revolution back then, so to speak. Dustin says, is there a draft planned? Yes, tentatively. Anything can change. Frank says, what have you heard about the possibility of Aleister Black going back to WWE? That it's a possibility that a lot of people might be offered lesser deals to come back, but not that there are any immediate plans. Dev says, are there any updates on how soon we could be seeing more call-ups? Yeah, I would assume within the next 6-7 weeks. Up until the draft. I would assume between now and the first weekend of September, I think that's when we're going to see some more. I can't say specifically that that's when it's going to happen because there are a lot of them that had been planned in the past. Vanessa Bourne, Chelsea Green, Santana Garrett, that just weren't used. Damian Priest was meant for SmackDown. He ended up on Raw. Rick Bugs was just so random. And then the Piper Niven thing, I knew about it like 6-7 weeks before it happened. And it's happening pretty well how I was told it was going to happen, just not the time frame. Tad says, hey SRS, any way of finding out why the announce tables haven't been breaking on Impact a lot lately? Recently, I've noticed the table isn't breaking like Thatcher and Ciampa versus Grizzled Young Vets, and a couple of Randy Sing bombs have not broke through. The Sing bombs aren't supposed to break through. The tables are not set up for Sing bombs to break through. Those are supposed to have those bounce off of them. So in a lot of those situations, it's just not meant to happen. Otherwise, those tables are stout, my friend. Anthony says, with the constant criticism of the creative writing, the main roster, mainly Raw, Do you believe that scripted promos help wrestlers who are not comfortable on the microphone and need more time to develop their talking promos, like we see Rhea Ripley sort of not herself when she's talking? Well, if that's the case, she shouldn't be cutting promos. If somebody can't be themselves and deliver a natural promo, they should not be cutting promos. Somebody else should be cutting promos for them. It's better to have no promo than a bad promo. It's better to have no dialogue than bad dialogue. That's how I feel about that. David Hart says, I'm sure this has been asked before, but how did Denise become a part of Fightful? So, in the fall of 2019, I was looking to freshen things up. I do that from time to time with Fightful. We were undergoing a major schedule change. We were adding AEW in the middle of the week. We had SmackDown moving from Tuesday to Friday. Alex was, when Alex and I would do our reviews, he would hate Raw so much that I did not feel like he could review it fairly. Like, even when really, really good stuff happened, it was really bad. And it's like, well, there's obviously an audience for that, and Alex is so good at it. So Alex pitched his own show, and I was all for it, but that meant, okay, well, he's not going to be on Raw or SmackDown anymore. Warren was already doing a couple shows with me, so I didn't want to have him on three shows with me. You got to switch up the teams a little bit. And we didn't have Anna anymore, and I really missed having a female perspective on the show. I thought that Anna Bowart bringing a female perspective to our show was invaluable, and that's why our female demographics are a little bit higher, too. Not a little bit higher, a lot of bit higher than a lot of websites. And we had probably, three, four dozen applicants within the first 3 days. And immediately, as soon as I saw Denise's stuff, I was like, okay, I know who she is. I know she does red carpet stuff. She does interviews. She does podcasts. I was like, she is reliable. She had experience. And also, it helped that Sean Waltman straight up messaged me and said, this is the woman that you want. This is the person you want. Going to be hard for me to say no to a recommendation from Sean Waltman, but a lot of people tagged her and were like, give her a shot. So I did, and it was very, very clear immediately that Denise was going to be a big part of Fightful moving forward. And now she's going to be an even bigger part of Fightful moving forward. She's going to be covering Bellator for us next month in L.A. So proud of her. So proud of her, and we're very, very lucky to have her. A Rose Lab says, have you ever heard any bad stories about Trish Stratus? Seems to me, alongside Molly, she's well-respected. Oh, she's super kind. Like, I wish I could tell you just how kind in person that she is without it sounding just, like, completely dumb and boring. But, like, just little common sense, decent things that she wouldn't need to do, she does. Josh says, hey, SRS, any updates on when we might see The Fiend or Bray return? I would assume before SummerSlam. He is advertised for an early August show on Raw for the on-sale stuff. Mr. Lively says, any updates on the new console video games? I think you also mentioned WWE. Yeah, AEW is they're at work on it. I've heard maybe towards late 2022 on that, but that is very, very early, and that was just somebody throwing something out there. WWE and 2K know they got to knock it out of the park. They know that they have to hit a home run on their next video game, or else they will completely lose their audience. People are willing to give them a shot, I think. A lot of people are. I don't want to speak for everybody. But if they screw up as bad as they did with WWE 2K20, people will not give them a shot again to the degree in which they're willing to right now. They cannot screw it up. Also, WWE has competition. They have Retromania for people who like that. They have Fire Pro, which never gets old. They've got AEW coming up soon. And they've got the Virtual Basement Wrestling Code game as well. Boris says, with both AEW and WWE hitting the road soon, aside for fans, what is the biggest thing you're looking forward to? How creative adjusts. If we're going to go back to seeing those same old dog shit, all you people promos. Mike says, anyone in WWE being lined up for a big push? Actually, I think your previous select post about Reginald answers that. I have not heard of anybody in line for a big push. I know they like Damian Priest an awful lot. Steven says, if you heard anything in regards to Hook starting to wrestle, he's been all over TV for a while, and I was surprised Brock was getting a match ahead of him, meaning Brock Anderson. Yeah, I had heard one report of him actually progressing pretty well, but I would imagine Taz is very protective of him and how he'll look and how he'll do and all that. I did see him like during one of the beatdowns. His stomps didn't look that great, but what does that mean? You can be taught to stomp. I'm sure he is. We have a couple of questions that go hand in hand. Adam says, in the case of Samoa Joe, who was involved in the conversation to rehire him, did the same people that made the decision to release him also approve to bring him back? And Reggie says, Fightful reported that as soon as Triple H found out about Joe's release, he pushed to have him back in NXT. How in the know is Triple H when it comes to main roster releases? Well, I can tell you Stephanie knew about the main roster releases before the world did. So I would imagine if Stephanie knows that Triple H knows, I can't explain the disconnect there. I cannot explain why he couldn't just move them over. But last year when Drake Maverick was brought back into NXT, he was not on the same deal. He was on a new deal. It was a lesser deal than what he had on the main roster. I would imagine that's also the case with Samoa Joe. And I would imagine that for the amount that whatever they're having him do and it being approved, I'm pretty sure those decision makers are more than happy with that. Riley says, with AEW doing the big New York show, do you think they try to get a name like Shaq to wrestle on the show? He said he wanted to wrestle sometime this summer. Yeah, I think they're going to try to get a big name. I do. It would be a very smart idea. Trent says, do you think WWE's new introduction of more gimmick shows will prove to be any help in the long term or just another quick fix like Legends Night? I think it can help long term, but ultimately the viewer sees through the gimmicks. I've talked about it time and time again. There's always a scheme. There's always something to blame. There's always a Band-Aid and there's always a scapegoat with WWE specifically. A lot of these are network pushes. I like the idea of the Raw Bowl like they did on New Year's Day 1996, I think it was. I love that. I thought that shit was rad. As a kid, I thought it was cool. As an adult, would I like it? I don't know. I like a lot of different stuff than I did then. And your nostalgia is directly contingent on your childhood. But I like Raw Roulette. I like King of the Ring. It's a matter of what they do with those shows, how they follow them up, how they lead into them. Retribution, Raw Underground, Raw Dark, no commercials. All those things that I've mentioned that have been gimmicks in the past, those were Band-Aids as opposed to just making an interesting show, making wins and losses matter. I could do a full hour on this. It is a constant cycle of making things matter as much as possible. That way the viewer feels like they have to watch. And they just won't do that. Ashwin said, any push you have heard for wrestlers from an Indian origin? Not necessarily. I mean, the Jinder Mahal group was slated for something. I don't know why that it was put back on main event. But it was slated for something. And I know Drew wants to work with him and them. Brett Uten says, do you know what date AEW will be going back to Wednesday? It looks like June 30th. Yeah, I think it's June 30th they're back on Wednesday. Eric says, why do they change Reigns, Mysterio to SmackDown and their plans to add a match to Hell in a Cell to make up for it? So this was before I issued that report today. I don't know why it was, but briefly, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens was slated to be in Hell in a Cell, and then that changed at some point this afternoon as well, and it might change again. We still might see that. But no specific reason. Matt says, happy Friday, SRS. Which of the network cross-promotion ideas would you want to see the most? Or any ideas of types of events? The World Cup is the one that I like the most. I like the idea of that. That's the one. You put a highlight on global talent and you expose it. And then the winner gets something. Winner got to get something in addition to the cup. Paul says, even though the group is disbanded and some are feuding, if when called up to the main roster, do you think Cole, KO, Roddy, Fish should and would show up as a backup or show back up as a reformed Undisputed Era? I hope so. No, I don't think that's in the plans anytime soon. I have not. I've specifically heard there are not call-up plans for Roderick Strong right now. Eric Z says, did Lesnar sign a new deal? Everyone keeps mentioning him versus Lashley at SummerSlam. I don't think so. I don't think he signed anything new. But I could be wrong because he is on the roster page. But I've heard no major discussions there. Or at least as of WrestleMania, there weren't. Jared says, I think AEW being featured in Forbes is a big deal. Do you think that kind of publicity will accelerate AEW's growth into maybe going public or maybe getting on network TV once their Time Warner deal expires? No to the Time Warner thing, I don't think, with going public. The way they got into Forbes was way more than what a lot of people always point at Forbes for. Like, there's a lot of, some of the wrestling writing on Forbes is not great. But that was very good, and that was very in-depth, and the spread was incredible. That was a great piece. So, yeah, I think that one went a long way. Aussie Dan says, any updates on Davey Boy Smith Jr.? Seems as if things have gone quiet. Yeah, they have gone quiet. He has not wrestled in about 2.5 months since WrestleMania weekend. I reached out to him about his status, what he's got going on, and did not hear back from him. I talked to Diana here and there, but never about him. So it's been very, very quiet, yeah, and I haven't heard a thing about it. I have asked and just haven't heard anything. Usually, that means something is up, but I have not heard a peep. Aaron Howarth says, who beats Reigns? Again, I feel like I get asked that every week, and I don't know that that answer exists yet. I know it's not the answer you want, but with Walter and Reigns, you wait until you find the person that you can't deny it. Otherwise, Reigns and Walter are the hot hands, so you stay with the hot hands. Zach says, great work as always. Have you heard anything about how Warner is viewing Dynamite's performance on Friday night so far? It's being used as a bit of an examination of how Rampage is going to do, and the numbers are not quite as expected, at least from one Turner source, but they said that there are a lot of variables to that. Like, it's not something that I feel comfortable publishing. I'll talk about it offhand on a podcast, but it's a matter of a regular night, 2 hours versus 1 hour, what's being promoted, the nature of the show, live versus tape. There's a lot that goes into that. Wes says, do you think Money in the Bank should be focused on the people they want to elevate from the mid-card or just be stuck with what appears to be primarily established main eventers? I think it should be whatever creates the best story, Wes. I think that is the best idea to go with. You want the thing that will create the most intrigue, whether or not it's an established person or an up-and-comer. Joshua May says, any update on Mel? She's on the AEW roster page and taking indie bookings, but hasn't been on TV in many months. Yes, I have an update on Mel coming up soon. I'm reaching out to a couple more people. Maybe as soon as this weekend, definitely by next week. D-Sing says, are the AEW Trios belts coming soon? I don't know if they're coming soon. I think they're coming. Unknown Figure says, do you think this extended run on Fridays for Dynamite will damage it in the long run? Yes, I think in the long run, I don't know. In the short term, yes, I think it will damage it. Wednesdays are not a habit anymore for AEW viewers, and that ain't good. Chloe says, hello, I might have missed this, but we heard any more details about Money in the Bank. Will it be a classic Money in the Bank match or different like last year? Current plans, Chloe, call for it to be a traditional Money in the Bank. But as we have seen, I mentioned it on this show, things for this Sunday are changing this afternoon. Dan Hughes says, what are your thoughts on Pete Dunne and who would you like to see him wrestle? I think that he needs a little bit something else besides the grimace, punch himself in the jaw thing to stand out as a character. I love the work with Riddle that saw him expand that, and I want to see him do more. I think he could be booked an awful lot like Taz was, but modern day. And he is just super talented. Jeremy Brownlee asks if I think that the NWA can turn things around and get some good talent in there and build it back up enough to get a decent or good TV channel or deal. As things are constructed, I don't know. I think their best chance is to lean more into the women's wrestling, which is puzzling to me. They had Thunder Rosa, who was already promoting women's wrestling. They could have been doing this a long time ago. But that has the most buzz. I think that's their best shot. But I think that as presented right now, I don't think so. Anything can change, though. I thought they stood a good chance before the pandemic. Now, not so much. It's a bad show. Ray says, do you think NXT's ratings are stagnant because of fan perception that it's not main roster? Somewhat, yeah. I mean, it's habitual as well. When more important things happen and it becomes the show to watch, more people will watch it than the other shows, and we'll start to see that go away. But yeah, I do think that affects it sometimes. Anakin says, general consensus seems to be the Friday Dynamites are the most skippable of all of them so far this year. What do you think has been the cause of this dip in quality? I think it's they're filming a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. They are not able to see that some of this stuff doesn't work immediately, and they've already got it in the can, and they can't switch it up, and therefore you get some missable shows as a result. But I think things are probably going to heat up very soon. I would expect tonight's Dynamite to be good because they got to lead into next Saturday. Next Saturday's is probably going to be one notch below pay-per-view quality, and they got to bring it that first Wednesday. Kevin says, the last few weeks have had vague mentions of plans for Roddy and Marina together that either didn't happen or aren't happening. What more, if anything, can you tell us about this situation? Almost nothing. You'll see pretty soon, I think. But there's hope. There's a lot of hope. Harry says, AEW bought the licenses for Baltimora and Jungle Boy and Wild Thing for Mox. If WWE would do that too, as they did with Edge in the past for Alter Bridge, what song could you see them replacing Nikki Cross's awful theme? Zombie. There you go. That'd be a good one. By the Cranberries. And be different too. Zach says, has the heat on Flip Gordon in terms of his views on COVID died down, or is there still nuclear heat between the wrestlers at ROH? I don't know about nuclear heat. I just think most people that I've talked to have been like, you know, they roll their eyes about it. Brian says, we hear rumors circulating online about the potential return of John Cena. How likely is it that Brock Lesnar or other names from the past have a small run post-pandemic? I think Lesnar's 50-50. I think John Cena's 75%. I think we're about 30-40% on The Rock. Ben Williams says, the AEW game teaser looks great. If it blows WWE 2K out of the water, how much do you think it can benefit AEW generally with live fans and viewers? I don't know about live fans and viewers, but I do know that WCW was helped out incredibly by WCW Revenge. I would play that game, and I would be like, man, look at that roster. That's a pretty rad roster. But as far as financially, oh boy, can that go a long way. They have an eight-figure investment in this, and it's one of the best investments they have made. Because okay, so you're selling the game for $60 a pop. You break even on like maybe 175K of those overall. You got to sell even more to really, really make money. But also, you're not going to have to make a $10 million investment every time. Once you build the engine and all that stuff, a lot of that stuff is ready-made. Then when you release stuff along the way, you can make money. And this is a long-term investment for them, and it's important because their audience is younger and does... I mean, they do play games more. But WWE has a very, very young audience that it is missing out on right now with 2K being delayed for a year. There's so many possibilities of this helping AEW become a very, very profitable company. Alex says, is there any reason why the powers that be decide to keep changing the wrestlers' names when they arrived to Raw and SmackDown after spending years building and branding them in NXT and NXT UK? A lot of it's Vince, and a lot of it's they want to own that IP and benefit off of that specifically, and they want to build something of their own. Philip says, with the Rumors of WWE holding a Wrestling World Cup, what are the chances they bring an outside talent like they did with the Cruiserweight Classic? I think if they were going to do it on Raw and SmackDown, they would not bring in outside talent. Dan says, I personally feel like MJF should be a heel his entire career, but can you ever see a time when he goes either tweener or full babyface? Yes, I've said this before. If you can get a Switchblade or a Ricky Shane Page or, pardon my language, somebody that can out-motherfucker everybody else, and then the AEW roster is like, who can we possibly get? Who can we possibly get that can match up this piece of shit? And they go, oh, wait, we've got a piece of shit here. It's got to be MJF. And MJF is happy that everybody realizes how bad they need him, but also does not want somebody to threaten his throne for King Piece of Shit. Ray says, apologize if this is a fantasy booking question, but which do you think is more likely after Callis got fired from Impact, quote-unquote? Is this what sets Kenny's collapse of losing all the titles, or does it open the door to more Impact AEW feuding? I think it's more likely that it leads to Kenny's collapse. Sean says, when will the NXT call-ups appear on TV for Raw and SmackDown? You're seeing them now, pal. Piper Niven, Rick Bugs. There's going to be more peppered in. Joel says, of all the releases this year, we've seen Samoa Joe return to NXT. Do you see any of the other releases possibly coming back to the WWE before the end of the year or to NXT? Yeah, Iconics and Aleister Black, I think, are real possibilities. Chelsea Green seems to have a positive relationship with WWE. I know she's got some injury issues, but they're cool with her rehabbing there, and she speaks glowingly of them, so there you go. Michael Adams says, what's Malcolm Bivens doing? Is he just on a show I don't watch? I've heard of some creative pitches and some tentative plans, but I had heard of that 2 or 3 months ago, and it didn't happen, so I don't, yeah, I can't say that that will happen. I hear his name mentioned for the internal PC live shows, so he's still there performing and stuff like that, but there were plans, they just got nixed or delayed. Kenny says, if Bianca retains on Sunday, what's next for her, seeing as the women's roster is so thin right now? I think Sasha comes back and you lead to them at SummerSlam. Brendan says, do you think Roman beats Rey tonight and faces Dom at Hell in a Cell Sunday? Feel like the story writes itself, having Ray watch Roman destroy his son at Father's Day. God, that's a brilliant idea. Yes, I think so. I think that'd be very cool. Tanner said, thoughts on the preview of the AEW console game that was revealed on the latest Games 2.0 show? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm stumbling over my words. I thought it looked an awful lot like the recent WWE games, but it's going to be better than that because Ukes quit because they didn't want to be a part of a trash franchise anymore. I think it's going to play an awful lot like the WWE games in recent years. Vlad says, do you know anything about Mike Bailey's status? I know Meltzer said he was in talks with WWE. Any update on that? I think his visa issues are cleared up now, and that's what was being worked on. But I had also heard that there were some conversations there. Jose says, with how bad WWE has been the past few years, have you seen, heard, or noticed in any trend younger indie stars not wanting to go to WWE? Yeah, Santana and Ortiz got offered a lot of stuff to go there, and they didn't go there. And there are a lot of people who are in AEW now who had the opportunity to and didn't go there. Xantheus says, next time Jimmy is away and you need someone to fill in, how does the list and Bob O'Neill sound to you? Sounds like dog shit, my friend. Sean says, do you know why there weren't any fans at Dynamite last week and the stage setup went back to the old way? Yes, it was taped. They taped a few episodes last time. Joe says, any word on what the diamond mine is or the charging percentage shown on NXT? I think the charging percentage is Tegan Knox. I think the Diamond Mind is a Raw Underground-esque group. Still working. They're playing that close to the vest. They want to keep that very secret. Mike says, not sure if this can be answered, but was there ever any follow-up on the NXT story where the hidden camera was found and Velveteen Dream was involved? That was not at the Performance Center, from what I understand. As soon as I can get somebody to go on record about that, I will. I heard the story years ago. Bryant said, Hey, Sean, you and Jimmy were talking about how matches are structured with the same moves on List Goes On. Wanted to know if agent or producers have a certain outline they have to follow, or they can produce matches how they want. They do have some general guidelines and stuff. I mean, they're trained and they're taught. Yes, there are some guidelines that they do have to follow. Andrew said, just curious if there's any shot Hunter would move on to other promotions in an executive on-air role if WWE were to be sold or Nick Khan were to take over. Man, so I you heard me chuckle at that at first. I was like, oh, man. And then your question finished. I was a little bit surprised by it. And then I'm like, damn, that's a really good question. Yeah, I think there's a possibility if Nick Khan were to take over. And, yeah, I think it's possible. I don't think it's impossible. Triple H loves this business. Christian says, reaction to Bully Ray saying on Busted Open that Joe's pop at NXT should have been bigger, but because of dirt sheets, it wasn't, and that you guys are not helping the wrestling business and being a detriment to the fans. That's his opinion. He can have that thought all he wants, but you know what? I'm helping myself, and I'm helping the thousands of people that subscribe to what we do, and that's what's important to me. Not the people that don't like what we do. Bully Ray is more than entitled to his opinion, and he's been around for a very long time, but there you go. I think the pop would be bigger if there were more than 300 people there. Darrell says, why do you think wrestling journalists get such a bad rap from fans? It could be a small percentage, but it seems like the IWC either loves or hates journalists. Well, everybody has the internet. I don't believe in the IWC. The positive far outweighs the negative. I'm trying to get better at like not taking that stuff personally. It is not easy for me, coming from the background that I do, to respond to criticism sometimes, because here in my town, if somebody doesn't like you, you must have done something wrong. You must have done something really, really badly. But I mean, it's just, I think that a lot of it comes from the early 2000s and throughout that decade, where you had people that were not Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller and Mike Johnson, and people that reported reputable stories that would make up stuff, and that there was a lot of laziness, and there still is, but now there are more accurate sources than ever, and I don't want to go through every single one of them. There are so many good ones, and I'm fortunate that over 2,000 of you trust us enough to subscribe to us, but I think there was so much fake stuff, and there were so many people that wanted to get into this just for the sake of pretending they were an authority on something, and that's not what you are. Like, I'm here to learn stuff about wrestling and then relay that to you guys, and then learn stuff with you guys. So, I think that a lot of that reputation is carried over, and there's so many people that just assume that everybody copies and pastes what Meltzer does. And Meltzer does great work, but that's just not the case anymore. So hopefully we're changing that, and hopefully some of the other people are too. The positive always outweighs the negative. I know sometimes me going at people on Twitter when they're being gobshites is a little bit, it gets a little bit more attention, but man, I get so many positive tweets and get to interact and talk to so many cool people every single day. It's a blip on the radar, the negative. Staying with this subject, I guess, Snacky says, do you have any issues with other news sites reporting information and being put on Fightful Select right after it's posted? Do you request a specific amount of time before Fightful Select is reported by other news outlets? No, to me, once it's news, it's out there. It's available to be put out there. I mean, I generally don't like right away doing it, but I mean, it's out there. I can't stop anybody from doing it. I don't like if media members just post it in a tweet with no link to what we're doing, no link to what their outlet is doing. It's like, okay, I mean, at least link it to your own site and draw some revenue off of it. At least do that. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not that bothered by it, but I think that most of the people that subscribe to us do it out of respect for what we're doing. They get it directly, and they know it's accurate. And a lot of the subscriptions we get are people who just want to support what we're doing, and it helps an awful lot. Holland Carr says, do you think Awesome Kong will ever wrestle again? No, I do not. I don't think she will. I was surprised she did for AEW. Reed says, does Julia Hart have some sort of connection to the Hart family? Nope, not besides being in the Varsity Blondes. Avery Dunn says, what would you have the Pinnacle move on to after Inner Circle? I see the Elite being tied up with Dark Order over Fall and Winter with no direct path for Inner Circle or Pinnacle. I really think they should have just split Inner Circle. And then they could have fought them individually. Them just being like, this isn't over, even though we beat you, was really weird to me. So I think that after Hangman wins the title, I think MJF is probably in line for him. And I think that MJF might win that title pretty quickly. Brett McGrath says, with GCW booking a show the Friday before SummerSlam in Vegas, you think this would be setting up for Mox versus Gage match that we are waiting for? Yes, I do. I really do. Michael says, with the SmackDown roster being lighter than it's ever been right now, is there any talk about evening out the rosters? Yes, there is talk about that. I would expect to see that in a couple months. Becky Daycarter says, as WWE relaxed their stance on external projects, Cassie Lee mentioned she stopped her YouTube series because WWE asked her to, despite not using her name for it, but I still see people like Shayna posting videos every week, and Demandies can host a pop-up shop. Is it just some talent that have reached agreements with the company? Yes, some have. Some have stipulated it in their deals and negotiations. I don't know that any of them have. But yes, there are some that are discussing it and negotiating it. Chad says, was it ever said what Anthem bought access for? Any word on Impact going back on the road? No word on them going back on the road right now. Also, no word on how much they spent. Sorry, I wish I had an answer for you. Shane says, do you think WWE lacking the authenticity factor with a lot of things, including more scripted promos, camera cuts, has hurt them from a fan perspective? Yes. One of the things that I talked to Eric Bischoff about in one of our interviews was it does not seem spontaneous enough. It doesn't seem fresh enough. It is overproduced. It is just overdone. And it doesn't feel real. One of the things I like about AEW is that we see different qualities of cameras, like the corner cam and all that stuff, the tunnel cam. It's different. It feels like anything can happen. Now, when 400 straight gang wars happen, it doesn't, but there are a lot more elements of that that I like. Any rumors about Commander Aziz? How is he viewed by management? He's viewed fine. They didn't send him back to NXT like they did Arturo Huas after he was drafted and Raw Underground was killed, so that's a positive. Jake Schmall says, is Eric Bischoff your new best friend? Love listening to you guys on his show. Can't wait for that interview to drop. Yeah, I am going to drop that soon enough. I'm working on putting it in and get together. We have such a backlog of interviews right now. I've got like 6 or 7 in the can. We get along really well. I appreciate that he puts us over. It means a lot because I really respect his work and really like his show. Zach says, curious about Joe Keys. He was a part of ROH TV and just competed on Dark this week. Any news on his contract status? No contract, to the best of my knowledge. Nonzo says, which released WWE stars do you see joining Impact at Slammiversary? I think we won't just see WWE stars at Slammiversary, but I think Chelsea Green, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, probably going to be there. Do you think Braun or Alistair will return to WWE, asks Cameron. Yes, I think they both will. Cameron Hutton asks if I will be investing in MJF coin. And Peter asks if it's a work. No, it is not a work. It is honest to God, serious, real. It is a real crypto. No, I will not be investing in it. That is a conflict of interest. I also don't invest in WWE stock, even if I think that's going to go up and down. I think it's a conflict. Sheila says, in regards to the Doudrop Piper Niven kerfuffle, why do some wrestlers have to undergo a name change despite being seen on WWE programming previously? Do they assume fans won't know or care? Yes, they assume fans won't know. They don't care. But if Vince sees somebody, sometimes he'll like them and he'll be like, well, we have to make them new and this is what I see in them. And that's why that gets changed so much. And I've heard constant stories about that. There are a lot of people that have just narrowly escaped getting new names. And fortunately, they didn't. Megan says, what can main roster do to make themed episodes matter aside from a coat of paint? You have to increase the stakes and what matters in and around the show. Have to. Those themed shows are great, and I'll like those elements of them, but you got to make it matter around the show. Ricardo says, do you think Cross and Joe will lock horns, or it's a bit of a tease? I think they'll lock horns. I think it'll happen. Michael Branson says, do you think Woods should win King of the Ring on his first try? Or would it be better for him to chase it a couple times? I think he should get an opportunity at the crown, and it should get, like, robbed from him, sort of, and then he wins the tournament. Tim Gordon says, have you heard of any extras in AEW unhappy about how AEW Dark commentary is done? No. I've heard some upset about some other things, like finishes, or maybe somebody being a little bit too rough with them, or how they're treated by wrestlers who are not there anymore, but not about commentary. Patrick says, any news on Toni Storm? Wouldn't be surprised if she goes to the main roster soon. No word on Toni Storm, but I also would not be surprised. She would be a great fit for Raw or SmackDown, and I think that's the best bet. M. Haw says, who makes the most sense to win Money in the Bank next month? I'm going to have to put a no Money in the Bank question on soon. Because every week mine changes, and I feel like I'm cheating you guys out of something by giving you a different answer every week. But WWE booking changes every week. I think it's got to be a heel. But it's got to be a hot heel. I think Sami Zayn would be funny with it. Oh, Jesus. But I think actually somebody starting up or debuting would be good. And actually, I think Piper Niven and Eva Marie make a lot of sense for that. But also, I think having like a Kevin Owens winning it would make a lot of sense, too. Having a good baby face end up with Money in the Bank. Or hey, how about this? Kofi or Xavier Woods. And then Kofi can cash in on Lashley if he wants to. And he got that feud ready to go. Ed says, any updates on Mia Yim? Just keeps getting pushed back from what I hear. Just keeps getting pushed back. Ryan says, what's your favorite Dark Side of the Ring episode on season 3? I was most interested in the Collision in Korea one, because I've legitimately learned most about North Korea from wrestling than anything. And I thought the most interesting episode by the end was the Grizzly Smith one. Yeah. David says, are there expected to be more WWE releases? Eventually, not imminently. Brian says, are there any plans for Angel Garza going forward? No. No major ones, and there never were. They just keep hot-shotting angles to put them on TV. Sure, I guess. Fine, but I'm glad that he pops up on TV every so often. It's okay. Not everything has to lead to something major, I guess. JB says, any idea what led to Joe going to NXT? Is he less healthy than rumored? Was it limited to travel? Was the interest less than I would imagine, or something else? I can't speak to his motivations or his health, but Triple H wanted him. People in NXT wanted him. They thought he could help out. They thought he could teach a lot of people. He could be good on screen, and there's hope that he can wrestle eventually. I just don't know where they are on that. LJ says, outside the Joker slot, do you expect any surprise debuts or returns in the AEW Women's Casino Battle Royale? Yeah, I think Maki Ito and Allison Kay, who you mentioned, might pop up there. Dragon Suplex said, how would the Mandy and Sonya storyline have ended if the Stalker incident didn't happen? Sonya would have got her head shaved. And then I don't know where it was going to go from there. I think they were going to send Mandy to a different brand anyway. Who do you see Bobby Lashley facing at SummerSlam? I think Drew probably wins this Sunday, and then he faces him again. If they do it, that's such a bad idea. Such a bad idea. Other than that, I don't have a clue. They might have to bring somebody in. They never heat anybody up. But that doesn't matter to WWE. He listed literally the entire roster when I asked him. Who could you see yourself facing, not Brock? The man himself mentioned Damian Priest, Randy Orton, Riddle, John Morrison, Elias Riker, The Fiend, Keith Lee. He mentioned two people who aren't on TV, two people who are in a tag team, Riker, who ain't over, Elias ain't over, John Morrison, that ain't happening. Damian Priest is probably the best option there. Because what they like to do is, if they don't have imminent plans for somebody but can't keep putting them over, they don't have the creative juices to keep putting them over, they'll just take them off TV, and that's what's happened to Damian Priest. Bryson says, who in the AEW women's division is impressing the executives the most, as well as for yourself? Bryson says, for me, it'd be Layla Hirsch or Tay Conti. Well, Tay Conti was laying her shit in an awful lot with people, but she was impressing people as well. Layla Hirsch is one because she was getting a contract when a lot of people weren't getting a contract, so I'm going to say her. Serena Deeb has been one that has impressed so many people in AEW. They love her there. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate all of you. Over 100 questions. We're out.